Once again, I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. My name is Cyril Stevens, and I bring you some more nuggets, I hope, of truth from the Word of God. And I want to share from Acts of the Apostles. I want to continue and finish off the second chapter of Acts. I want to show you what should be happening in our churches, how it is that we should have a great relationship with the Lord Jesus. This is verse 42 of the second chapter. If we have fellowship and break bread together and we have prayers together, we have something else. Fear will come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs done by the apostles and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now let me stop there, because I believe that the church has failed. We have failed to address the issues that are in front of us. For instance, a person today may not be able to afford the burden of the insurance of going into a hospital and having operations and whatever needs they may have. Churches all around say, let them buy the insurance, but they can't afford to do that, and there are many who cannot. What should the church do? Now, you may say I'm naive, and you may criticize me upside one and down the other. I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that there are people who are loving the Lord Jesus Christ that cannot meet these bills. Now, notice, please, the words in verse 45, as every man had need. Very important little word. Because the need that we are into needs to be met. For instance, I have knowledge of two or three families who have had to be rushed into the hospital, and they were fixed, and they had some insurance or no insurance. The insurance paid so much, but they still had to pay other pieces. I noticed that some who didn't have any insurance were not turned away. The operation was done. They were kept in the hospital for a minimum of the days necessary to reestablish them and help them to get along, sent home, and the bill was colossal. If you can't afford the insurance, which will only cost you maybe $10,000 a year, it sounds to me rather ridiculous to give you a bill of $20,000 and pay up or else. Somewhere down the line, the name of the Lord Jesus is getting a black eye because some of our hospitals are religious. They are quote-unquote Christian, and yet they've got to collect the money, and so they employ people who are not Christian to come out and get the money, to bring tremendous pressure on people who can't afford to pay the insurance in the first place, and certainly not the 20 plus thousand that they're going to have to pay now that they didn't have the money. So we're penalized. We're in a terrible fix. Where's the church? Now, my experience has always been, especially in the last 20 years, that if you mention anything like this in a board meeting, for instance, everybody becomes an expert and everybody knows the answer and nobody will help. We argue ourselves into a question and we don't ask the question. We argue ourselves out of the question and solve the whole thing by arguing, and we don't meet the need. Notice this little phrase, as every man had need, verse 45. Ascertain the need of the person. Ascertain his need. His need is to get off a list in the hospital or whatever it is that he owes the money. Pay it for him. Well, there's always those people, you say, they just take you for a ride. Yes, they do. There are some like that. And you have to be careful not to help those people because that's not their need. But the need of the person that loves the Lord Jesus is quite genuine. And so we should meet his need. Well, then we read in verse 46, and I find, well, let's go back into 45. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. One of the reasons why so many of us have so much is because we've accumulated things over time that we don't need. We won't sell them and we won't give them away. Somehow, our brothers and sisters around us, there are some that are in desperate need, and the sale of some of our goods would certainly pay those bills. Oh, you say we're not going to do that. Well, Jesus had the same problem with the young man whom he loved greatly. The young man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. I've been a very religious person. I even look after my parents. Jesus said, that's remarkable. You're to be commended. However, go sell all that you have and follow me. The man went away sorrowful because he was very rich, and he could not get rid of his riches in order to glorify his Lord Jesus. Are you in that group, that you could meet the need of one of these people or part of the need for some of these people? Look into verse 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, our church, you'll say, is a rich church. We pay our bills and we help missionaries and we help people sometimes. It isn't sometimes. When the brother or sister is in need, meet it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. A year or so back, a fellow came to my house and we were just talking, and he said, how are things going? And I said, well, I don't know, it's a funny place to be, but I'm out of funds and out of food and don't seem to have too much fellowship with too many people at this moment of time. Within the hour, my freezer was full, my needs were met, and I had never preached what I have just said to you about meeting the needs. He understood. I didn't say very much at all, actually. That's all I said to him. He made sure that we were okay. Now, he didn't do it all himself. He lifted the telephone and said, we need to help the preacher. At least I guess that's what he said, something like that. Different people blessed us, and we've not gone back into that little disappointing area since that day. How precious is our Lord! How good it is that his people listen. And notice, will you, these people ate together with gladness and singleness of heart. Two things, gladness and singleness of heart. Where should my heart be? Well, it should be where my treasure is. And where is my treasure? In the Lord Jesus. So the temporal things, the things that are temporary upon this earth, that are necessary for a daily life on this earth, they're not eternal at all. Invest in eternal things and God will bless you. And you'll find a great difference in your life. These people were also, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as many as should be saved. Now, God knows. He knew you before the foundation of the world, and he knows those who are to be saved. Very important place for us to rest our thinking for a moment or two. It's important because, let's drift into chapter 4, once the church is organized by a religious organization, it becomes an organization. Instead of a living organism, it becomes something that is an organization They say a camel was put together by a church committee, and that's why he's so foolish with two humps on his back and all this sort of thing. He's not a horse. He's a horse. They added the bumps. Well, I just want to share with you that that's a sad one. It was so sad that we need to think about things in our own relationship. Are we prepared to meet the need of another man? Now, this puts a whole new complexion on the church. It's not that we're Baptist or that we're Presbyterian or we're apostolic or whatever it is. It is not any of these. It is not that we have a denominational value. It is that we are a group of people and we see a brother in need and we need to dig him out. He needs our help. He absolutely needs our help. And we need to think about this. We hear, as we read in the fourth chapter, these people who were the scribes and the Pharisees and the magistrates and elders, and they were assembled in Jerusalem, included Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all others who belonged to the high priestly relationship. Now, this is kind of ridiculous because they had this hierarchy of religious people, but they could not solve the problem of the people. It was through the work of the Holy Spirit that the man that was without his legs working in chapter 3, who was a cripple for more than 48 years, he was 48 when this took place, and he'd been a cripple all his life, so there wasn't any hope really of him getting up and running a race, but here he is leaping with joy and expressing himself with all sorts of things, and he was clinging to Peter and John, and all the people uttered amazement, and they ran together and crowded round them in the covered porch called Solomon's Porch. This is chapter 3, verse 12. Peter, seeing what was going on, answered the people, "You men, Israelites, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us as though by our own individual power or active piety we had made this man to be able to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant and son Jesus, doing him this honor, whom you indeed delivered up and denied and rejected and disowned in the presence of Pilate." And so he goes on in this great impromptu speech or sermon, and he talks to them so straightly. And then, having arrested him, verse 3 of chapter 4, "So they laid hands on them," arrested them, "and put them in prison until the following day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed and relied on Jesus as the Christ, and their number grew and came to be about 5,000. On the following day, the magistrates and elders and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem," and so on. They repeatedly demanded, "By what sort of power or by what kind of authority did such people as you do this healing?" Now, what an opportunity of the gospel. Here is God working a miracle, and the miracle is established amongst the religious people. The religious people can't accept it because they can think of all sorts of theological reasons why they shouldn't. The terrifying thing is that this is happening in our day. We have given authority to the government of our country, to the governments of our states. We have given authority to whoever comes along and says, "I've got a scheme, I've got a way of doing this, and I can show you how God isn't involved." In other words, man has been saying to us for a couple of centuries now, he knows better than God. I was talking to some people who should be in the know of these things, and I said, it's curious, surely. I've questioned and do still question why it is we don't see these miraculous things happening today. And one of the fellows turned to me and he said, because we have diluted the power of God and we think we can make it happen without him. And of course we can't. Just look at this medical thing that's in this country right now. I left England. One of the reasons was the health situation over there. I came to this country, my teeth were well looked after. In England, they weren't. My body was well looked after. In England, it wasn't. I've had extraordinary help in this country. It causes me to stop and think. But now we're hoping to go into a socialist thing, and I don't want to get into the politics of this, but we're hoping that we'll go into a thing of looking after everybody, and everybody's going to be looked after. Hey, churches, wake up! We were given the power. We were given the authority. We were not learning the power or learning the authority. Jesus was on exhibition showing what the power and the authority of heaven could do. This was a new and living way, and we've denied it. Look at this verse. I'm absolutely shattered by it. The demand was made, by what power and by what authority do you do these things? By what power? By what authority? Why, it should be that this man is leaping and jumping because of the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the Authorized Version, it says, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Well, it's not difficult to work out. If the church would go back to the place where the church was born, in its mind and in its heart, if we, the church, who love our Lord Jesus extraordinarily, if we would go back to him, we would see the signs and the miracles. Why is it that in parts of India, Asia, and places that are still rather barren for help, where medical attention is minimal, how is it people are supernaturally cured? I believe it's because of this. God is showing his power. God is showing his authority. And he's doing it through the name of the Lord Jesus. He is not doing it through some vast organization. He is not doing it through some political handout. We have diluted and we have taken the word of God and we have allowed the governments of our day to take what is Christian and superimpose what is not Christian. That's why these organizations fail and will continue to fail. They cannot possibly work. One of the needs I had at one time, now this wasn't the reason I came to this country, but the reason isn't necessary to be spoken about over and over. But what is necessary is to say one of the reasons was I did not want to live under this socialistic system. I agree that we need help. And in there are places like the slums and the ghettos that desperately need our help. There are places in the ghettos and slums of our time where there is a great deal of help necessary. No church should own, no Christian should have a room for sale or for rent unless it is very nice. But when I visit a lot of homes, I find that most Christians don't think God has blessed them too much because they don't look after their homes. And so how can they look after people who need homes? We need to look at this very carefully. By what power and by what name? In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him. King of glory now. Jesus is the one we need to turn to. We need to be saints of Jesus, and we need to turn our attention. Our needs need to be made known to those that know the Lord Jesus. We don't need handouts. We don't even need a lot of help. But there are times when things get thin, or something goes wrong, or we're ill, when things happen, and we come up against a brick wall of misunderstanding, or whatever the reasons are, and they are multiple. We need to be able to turn to the Lord Jesus. And those of us that are watching a fellow go through hard times, don't do so much watching. Do some doing. Go and help. Recently, we had an emergency in our family. We had to attend the hospital, and this is an ongoing thing for a little while, and we had no means of help at all. But a dear lady who lives about 6 miles from us came by and said, "I'm going to help." And she helped morning and evening. And in the early days of the emergency, she was there 24 hours a day, almost. And it was an exciting thing to see how God used this dear lady to overcome some of the problems that we were facing. She now only comes for an hour or two in the morning and an hour or two in the evening, but that's all that's needed. And she is whom God has chosen to meet our need. We had need, and he has chosen this lady to meet our needs. It's so necessary to do this. Oh, by the way, she didn't go to church. Oh, dear. But we're mighty grateful that God put her in our path and she met our need. It's very interesting. The church needs to return to trusting the Lord Jesus for the practical issues of life and the practical side of life. You remember at another place, and with this I have to finish, but another place the disciples had been fishing all night, and Jesus turned up and he said, "Have you caught any fish?" And they said, "No, it's not worth it. We've been fishing all night and we haven't got anything." Or he said, "You cast your nets in on the other side of the boat." Can you hear the murmuring that must have gone on in that boat? What can he see? How can he see something we know? There's nothing there. There's no fish. So they cut, but they obeyed. They cast their nets in on the other side, and they pulled out 153 fishes, and they loaded them into their boat, and the boat almost capsized because of the size of the load that they had fished all night for and had just caught in the very early hour of dawn. Isn't that remarkable? God met their need. Now, each man that was fishing there, and very likely there were 11 of them, all needed some money. Maybe they had to pay rents. I don't know what the needs were. But they had all their needs met by the Lord Jesus. Do you see? He opens our eyes where we cannot see. It gives us glimpses of truth. And he shows us the way. He shows us the life. He shows us that we are in the presence of God Almighty every moment of every day. Don't you understand that? Hey, saint, you who call yourself a saint of Jesus, follow Jesus all the days of your life. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever and be able to say amen and amen and be able to praise him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, because he has already faced the issues on your behalf. Dear friends, the church has failed. Jesus has not. Turn your attention to him. And you'll discover that what I've just said is quite true. Jesus is alive, and he loves you, and will keep you, and will undertake for you. Let's pray together. Lord, we all have needs at times, and we ask you that you will help those around us whom we love in your name. We ask that they may help us, that our needs may be met, not our wants, our needs. And we ask you, Lord, that you will keep us and keep us from falling and hold us gently but firmly in the hollow of your hand. Make us that vital part of the church that is capable of showing people the presence of the might, of the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. We'll meet again, either in the air or over there. Goodbye.